And welcome, friends, to this, the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live once again here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. Great to have you with us, friends, at this Thursday morning edition of our broadcast. And we're looking forward to today's message, a tape message from Grace Hour host and founder of the broadcast, Pastor Stevens. And Pastor Shallow will introduce his message in just a couple of moments. But before we're ready to listen to today's devotional message and then to discuss it live here in our studio, we want to remind you that when the phone lines are open, that's your opportunity to pick up that phone, dial one of these numbers, and join us on our live broadcast. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number. And you can dial that number again anywhere in North America and join us live in the broadcast with your comments, questions, testimonies, and your prayer requests. Locally, if you're listening in the greater Baltimore area, you could join us at 410-483-3700. And again, we want to welcome everyone listening live at gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and of course our podcast is broadcast live on Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, and Stitcher, just to name a few. And if you can't listen to our broadcast live, then you can always archive on any of those platforms and you'll be able to hear the broadcast in its entirety. So again, looking forward to another message that will help us to better understand what it means to be seated above and, of course, reminded of what Jesus is doing on our behalf since his ascension and session in heaven. So here's Pastor Schaller to, again, talk a little bit about Pastor Stephen's message before we listen to it today.
Pastor Love, the country is a bit in shock because of the mass killings in a middle school in Texas. And before that, there was a mass shooting in Buffalo, New York. And then a guy going to brunch in New York was shot to death. Innocent, kind of random killing. It brings us to like a lot of emotion and a lot of thoughts. Also, the thought of God and who is God and how does it work? There's a lot of room for commentary. There's a lot of room for chatter and many voices. So it challenges us as believers to be very wise and careful with our words and to understand more deeply what life is about. When life hurts you, do you just rant and rave, or do you actually process life? And this is the value that we have in the Bible, that the doctrines of the Bible give us anchor. Yeah, the foundation for our thinking and our very life. Unfortunately, we have seen people ranting and raving and swearing and cursing, and really it doesn't help us, and we don't really hear it or pay much attention. I would like to know more deeply, like, how should I live my life? We preached last night in the Wednesday night service, and I want to really direct people to the message that you can find on the ggwo.org website and encourage you to hear that message. It was challenging to tackle it, but I felt like it needed to be done. I had mixed feelings about trying to do it, but I really feel that in part God spoke to us and helped direct us to think about what is life about. You have not only the mass shootings, but we have the Ukrainian war, the Russians and the Ukrainians, and what is happening there. We have in Europe, we have a financial issues in our day, the economies. We have people talking about global warming, the future of planet Earth, consumerism. We have the fossil fuel debate. We have abortion. It seems like everywhere you look, there are issues of great concern for people. So to the believer, we would like to warn you. We are walking through a minefield where people actually lose their faith. People doubt all kinds of things. And yet, there's another category of people that are the overcomers. They are the people that are able to hear what God is saying. The book of Job is a very good example where Job is hurt very badly, very deeply. I also forgot to mention the overdose. We just finished a pandemic with COVID-19. Then we have the tens of thousands of people that are overdosing on heroin mixed with fentanyl. We have opioid addictions. We have crack cocaine and so on. So what can we say about all this? Well, there is Job suffering very much, and then he has three friends that are talking a lot, and Job is talking a lot too, and then he meets God. And that's the direction for our lives, is to hear from God and to meet God. And in Dr. Stephen's message, which we have divided into three parts for the morning program, one of the things that is really clear, and he says, I have a quality of life that comes from another place. That means coming from God. We're seated in heavenly places. Let me repeat it. We are to have a quality of life that actually is observable. It could be recognized. It could be understood to be actually the life of God that is coming from God. And that actually the reason why you are alive today and you're hearing my voice is that God has kept you alive up to this point so that he could reveal a kind of life that is not here in this world without God. That means the people that are struggling in life today are living without God, and therefore they have a quality inferior. They have a sin nature. They have the vulnerability of hurts and wounds and bruises and a lot of trouble. But you and I are to be living in a quality of life where there is love, and we are as he is. So are we in this world. Because as he is, so are we in this world. In 1 John 4:17. I don't want to go too quickly here, and I don't want to get ahead, but I want to just say that you and I are living in an evil world, and we have a purpose here. And even though we are in an evil world, we have a good, 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 good God. We have a living God who speaks to our hearts and fills us with his Spirit. So the invisible God is made visible by your life and my life, by our spirit and our heart, our mind, our words, our attitude. And we're able to say, God loves you. Yes, life is tough. It can be really hurtful. And there is evil in the world. But we are here with a purpose and a message. And that's what this message is about today. So tune in, listen to the message from Dr. Stevens.
God, isn't the Lord wonderful? Last we discussed recently at Friday Night Fellowship how beautiful it is with God and in heaven when people speak another about Christ. We took for an entire subject on Friday night Malachi 3:16, that's not our subject this morning, on how that God wrote it all down in a book when people talk in fellowship around Jesus Christ. And he writes it, and the people will get the greatest rewards in the world that do that. That's the greatest rewards in the world. Now, that's not why we do it, but that's what will happen scripturally for doing it. Now, why is that? Because God created Adam and Eve to fellowship with him before sin entered into the universe. And the greatest thing that God enjoys is vertical fellowship with his people, and then that vertical fellowship turning into horizontal fellowship. And they that has spoken often one to another, he hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written on them. And that's quite a book. And think of it. The greatest rewards in heaven will be for those that fellowship around the person of Jesus Christ. Not around the weather, not around the business, not around what you're buying, not around what you're selling. That's time. That will go just as quick as your heart stops beating. Goodbye, time, and that is gone. But around the word of God, because heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Matthew 24:35. So the fellowship that's with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, that our joy may be full, 1 John 1 verse 4. God is light, in him is no darkness at all. The born-again Christian is not shooting for Canaan. We said Friday night we've outgrown the Canaan message. Sorry to bring it up, but we've actually outgrown it. Canaan, it's where the enemies were, and they had to be driven out. There's one sense that we're in Canaan, but there's another sense in which we are not, because Satan is defeated, the flesh has been crucified, and the world has been crucified from us. Galatians 2:20 and 6:14 and 1 John 3:8. And therefore, we're seated in heavenly places in Ephesians 2:6, and that isn't Canaan. We are seated above Canaan. Canaan is victory on earth, but the new heavenly position is victory above the earth, revealed to the earth, or the eternal is of God, as it's received in the finished work through God's nature in us, 2 Peter 1:4, manifesting it in 2 Corinthians 4:10, making the mystery known in Ephesians 3:10 to the people living in time, special representatives of earth, 2 Corinthians 5, special ambassadors. Verse 19, we are special ambassadors or special representatives, seated above with a different kind of life than people here have, but we're just here to reveal the kind of life we've got, and that kind of life is God's life through Jesus Christ within us. And through this life we reveal God's character, God's emotions, God's mentality, God's wisdom, God's peace, God's purity, God's holiness, God's liberty, God's righteousness, and God's purpose. The only reason that we are here is simply to reveal a quality of life to a quantity of people that have never experienced this kind of life before. That's the only reason I'm here today. Now listen, if that was not why we're here today, you'd be in heaven now. God would have taken you home. You'd be in glory right now. You're not here today for any other reason than to show somebody, by virtue of fellowship with God and fellowship with God's body, you're only here today to reveal God's mind, God's emotions, and God's will in your humanity. And that's the only reason you're here. You're not living in Canaan. You've long since been translated and ascended into heaven, and you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus in Ephesians 2:6, far above Ephesians 1:19 through 22, all principalities and all powers upon the earth and in the atmosphere. Now, that's our privilege and our heritage. What a heritage it is. Now, let's say now that I don't know that and I suffer from a lack of teaching. Okay, then God will teach me if I'm hungry. Let's say that I do not know how to experience that, then God will be patient with me to allow me to. But let me say this. You are here not to settle your problems. Neither are you here to make problems for others. You're not here to murmur or to complain. You're not here to judge your situation with knowledge of tree of good and evil, whether you've been suffering or whether you've been prosperous. That's immaterial, whichever way it might be. It's not relevant at all.
The first clip, friends, of today's Grace Hour message entitled Seated Above in the Eternal Is. And we have a couple of more portions of that message that we'll be playing, but we'll stop it right there and discuss it with you in our studio. And, of course, anytime you'd like to weigh in, you can do that as well when those phone lines are open. Interesting statement, Pastor Shallard. We're not here to settle our problems or the problems of others. And maybe we could include in that the problems in our world, in our culture, in our society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good point. I mean, I could imagine two good friends that are walking along the way, and they could be arguing about something, but they don't. They're just together, and actually, you know, they have the sense and the wisdom not to be fighting or arguing or bringing up something that would divide them, but they are encouraging. They're gracious, they're wise, they're loving, and they get along, you know. And that maybe I should say that my life isn't necessarily to be like in other people's business or solving problems. It might be just by being patient and loving. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Or could you describe another scenario where that would apply?
Well, When you think of the most recent tragedy that happened just a couple of days ago in Texas with the children, we would say, yes, it's tragic. It's just horrific. And our prayers, of course, are with the families and the loved ones. But our approach would be, okay, how do we deal with it? Well, we're not going to move into the political realm. We're not going to move into the gun battle. We're going to preach Christ.
Okay.
We're going to share the gospel. And I think that some people might look at that and say, that's so irrelevant, that's so impractical. You have to do something about what's happening. But couldn't we say, as you preach the gospel, people receive Christ, their lives are changed? We're going to see less and less of this happening if that, again, the gospel preaching takes place and people's lives are changed.
Okay. Yeah, that's what we do, and it's how we think, and it relates. I mean, let's see, the killing in not far from here, up in Pennsylvania, at the Amish schoolhouse. I think 7 or 8 children were killed, and the Amish people just acknowledged it. They took down the schoolhouse. They plowed the field. They planted corn. They forgave the killer, and they moved on. I mean, that was like an incredible. I think that killing was a racially motivated killing too, and was in South Carolina at a little Bible study in a That's black
right.
church.
That's right.
That was also like forgiveness and moving on. That's pretty amazing. Well, I'm not. I think what you said is so good, and also another maybe example of it is like two people that are maybe like solving problems. Another way is just get on with your friends and don't talk about the problem. Like that's another way of looking at it. And I don't want to talk about the school shooting as much as like maybe a less dramatic issue where somebody is depressed. Well, let's talk about your depression. Okay, that's one thing. Or let's go to a baseball game. You know, let's talk about your depression and put it on and really deal with it. And the other another way is saying, come over to my house. We're going to listen to some music. We're going to eat dinner together. We're going to I want to encourage you. In other words, there are approaches in life that are not all analysis with a corresponding solution. It might be life is to be lived, and we are able to just get on with it with another approach. And I think that's what partly what the message is about today.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are here, as it were, in his stead. We proclaim the message. But ministry also includes seeking out and looking for hurting people.
Mm-hmm.
They're out there. There's plenty of them.
Yes.
And ministry says, I see you, and I want to come to you with some help, with some love, with some encouragement. Inevitably, of course, to lead them to Christ. But maybe it just starts by looking around us and saying, who's hurting? Who's troubled? Who needs some love and support and help and encouragement?
We're making streams in the desert, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we could talk all day long about how we don't have any water in the desert, and then there's somebody comes along and makes streams in the desert, and that's what we want to do in the city of Baltimore.
Amen.
That we want to make ways for young people to find Christ and to love people. So that's good.
Yeah, very good. And of course, that last statement that he made before the break there, you're not here to settle your problems or the problems of others, but the next statement says you're here to experience Christ's life within you.
Mm.
And then to share that life with others.
Mm.
Well, let's go back and start the second clip of today's Grace Hour message from Pastor Stevens entitled, Seated Above in the Eternal Is.
You're here not to experience anything but Jesus Christ's life within you, and you're here to reveal that life to everyone in time because you have been saved, translated out of time into eternity. Well, you were translated from the kingdom of darkness, that's time. Time only started pertaining to the fall. You've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, Colossians 1:13. And the kingdom of God's dear Son is within you. Luke 17:21. It is not of this world. John 18:36. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is in you. Luke 17:21. You've been translated from the kingdom of darkness, Colossians 1:13, to the kingdom of God's dear Son, which is not of this world, which is in you, which is eternal. And therefore God inhabits eternity, Isaiah 57:15. And you inhabit God. So there it is. I've never maybe figured out how anyone could go out and say, I don't understand that. I didn't say I could figure it out, but I sure understand it. And it's beautiful. It's just as true as God's word is. And everything about God's word is to be heard and received on the basis of faith. Not sight, and not human reasoning at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So, what a beautiful thing it is. I'm only here today for one purpose, to reveal the quality of life which comes from another place, heaven. And I'm here on earth, and you as born-again believers are here on earth to reveal the mind of Christ and the emotions of Christ, love. That's number one, because God is love. And out of that comes joy. Out of that comes joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, transferring all of your rights to others, temperance, godly control, and all these wonderful attributes of God in Galatians 5:22. So then, think of it. That's all the only reason you're here today. Your only reason that God has kept you alive is not to enjoy your business and not to enjoy your family, though God will make sure you do that. But that's not why. It's to reveal a kind of life that people that you rub elbows with do not have. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen God in John 14. They said, we've seen the Father, Philip said. And Jesus said, well, you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because the life I reveal is his life. And he says, as he is, so are we in this world, 1 John 4:17. So if we are as he is, then when you see us, then you see the life of the Father, or the life of the Son, or the life of the Spirit, or the Trinity of God, and the Trinity of man, and therefore man's triunity reveals God's Trinity. And where does that leave us? In Canaan? No, in heaven. We're not fighting a battle in Canaan any longer. Listen, what has happened? Every single child of God here this morning, living in the eternal is of Jesus Christ, first has the Holy Spirit of God in their body, have the mind of Christ in their mind, and the love of God in their emotions, and the wisdom of God in their will. And every single child of God should be, potentially, just one great, wonderful instrument of dynamite. Filled with all the fullness of God. Not a worry in the world. You see the difference? There doesn't seem to be much difference, but there's a world of difference. Nobody ever has to cross Jordan. We've already crossed it. Nobody has to drive out the enemy in Canaan. He's already driven out and was seated above him, resting in the finished work because he's defeated. Amen. It doesn't take much to confuse people so they can never grow to be strong like many of you are now entering into. I've never seen a time in our ministry when so many have got so much. Now let's treasure it and keep on growing. Don't ever stop to think that you've got it or you'll lose it. Don't ever be proud about it, because the second you do, you've lost it. But thank God that right now many of you have the most fantastic life you've ever had in the world. I got stacks of letters and notes and sentences all this week, and I put them all down right in my office. And more people in New England in the past 5 weeks are reporting absolute unbelievable victory. It's just out of this world. And letters are coming in from the tapes, from the radio, from the meetings, and from, as well as from here, and all over. And 3 calls in an hour recently that said, I just had to call because the eternal is means so much to me, I can't believe life could ever be like this. The most unbelievable revolution is going on where people are growing, and it's true. Why? Because they're not living in Canaan, and they're not looking forward to crossing over God, and they've crossed it. And they're not going to drive out the Canaanites, the Kenites, and the Hivites, because Jesus took care of them through the cross of Calvary. And they don't have to worry about when they're going to go to heaven, because in the eternal is of God, they're already seated there, named and perfect and complete, and that's why we preach the finished work.
Well, that's the second clip of today's Grace Hour message, friends, and we'll be playing the remainder of it in just a couple of moments, but first we'll discuss, again, that portion that we just heard from Pastor Stevens in that message. And I loved what he reminded us that we all are and what we all have. First one, he said, every child of God has the Spirit of God residing in their bodies. We have the mind of Christ to think with. We have the love of God in their emotions and the wisdom of God in their wills, which should result in making you and I dynamic people of God with the fullness of God coming forth from our lives. But let's tackle this issue, Pastor Schaller, the Canaan issue, because okay. We still experience spiritual conflict in this life as believers.
Yes. I think there's a context for what Pastor is saying, which maybe we should mention. I think that there are people that say, you know, we have to work hard to cast out the devil, have to work hard to take his territory, have to really work hard, and maybe we will win, maybe we won't win. But I think that's why he's saying, like, this is beyond that. And we agree with him. At the same time, we are in Canaan. We are told to drive out the enemy, and we do it easily. Like, just like Jericho was a great victory by walking around the city, and the walls came down without a shot being fired, you know. So that's finished work victory, and that's really the what we believe about this. That is, let's just go into Canaan and take our territory by faith, without works, without striving, without, like Pastor would say, chewing the varnish off the railing or the church, you know, coming forward and groaning and moaning for victory. But instead, we are victorious. We are seated in heavenly places. At the same time, we are in a real world with real flesh and blood, with frailty and mortality. We get sick, we get cancer, we die. The devil does tempt us. We do sin at times. We are defeated. But then this incredible message, which I just think is incredible, and it is, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. How could it be better than that? That I have died, and for me to live is Christ. So there it is, finished work.
Somebody described it this way, and they used the illustration of D-Day, which was, what, June or July of 1944?
June.
The Six. Allied forces on the shores of France. They said that that was really the day of victory. But yet after that, the war wasn't over.
Yes.
There were still battles that had to be fought and won.
Yeah.
But the crushing blow for the enemies was D-Day.
Yes.
I mean, we could maybe liken that to the finished work of Christ, and that's the basis upon which we step out into these spiritual conflicts, knowing that we have the assurance of ultimate victory.
Yes, very good. We have a beachhead. We landed. We got the victory over the enemy at the cross, and now we just walk in it. Again, I want to say, as Pastor was preaching, I can't help but think that there are some believers in unbelief as they're listening to him when he says, we have died with Christ. Okay, yes, I want to believe that, but I don't really believe that. We have the emotions of Christ, the love of Christ, the joy, the peace. It says in Ephesians 3:19, we know the love of God that passes knowledge, Philippians 4:7. We have the peace of God that passes understanding. These are amazing statements. Do we know this? Is this real? And Pastor is preaching and saying, yes, it is real. Yes, it is real. So by the preaching of the word, faith comes. The problem is, number one, it is not preached. Many churches are not preaching that message. Number two, if it isn't preached, my natural man is going to do all the thinking. I'm going to have these feelings. I'm going to be periodically confused or troubled. I'm going to live in defeat. And this is all because the Bible is not preached. Where did the Bible Speaks ministry come from? It came from the Bible being preached. Where did Greater Grace World Outreach come from? The Bible being preached. Why is the ministry growing? The Bible is being preached. People are believing it. And this is the reality. This is how we are now living.
And it's amazing.
But is there unbelief? As Pastor Love, you can to give a testimony. Do you have any unbelief regarding the Scriptures? You don't want to admit.
Sometimes, you know, there can be like someone approached Jesus and said, I believe, help my unbelief.
Yes.
So it could be there.
Yes.
But I think as long as you keep asking the questions.
Yes.
God's got answers.
Yes.
And then if you faithfully come to hear what God has to say in our local churches, wherever that may be for our listeners, you'll get your answers.
Yes, yes. I get in a minor car accident, but I need to go to the hospital. They take me by an ambulance, and there I am, hooked up to some machines. I'm okay, but I broke a bone or something. Okay. And then somebody says, you know, for you to live is Christ. And I'm like thinking, right now, I don't feel very good. I am in pain. I just had a car accident. I have a problem. But for you to, I go, okay. But then let's think about this and realize that is, what do I want to say? What am I trying to say?
I want to help you, but I
You're right.
I don't know if I can.
Yeah, I want to say there are times in life when everything that we believe is brought into question, and I just have to have an attitude of, you know, I don't know a lot. I don't understand everything, but I could be humble before God, and I could be hearing him, having a place in my heart where I could say, I want to hear you, Lord. It's like Psalm 42. How long, O Lord, how long? I have tears. I need you. So those are the Psalms of question and comfort and guidance in our emotions. So I'm not saying that this is like an automatic, you know, I am saying, however, exactly what Pastor said, which is be believing in what God has said in the scripture, and this will be your guidance in life, and the Spirit is faithful to use us. And we end up having a testimony in a world that really has no message.
Mm. I know that when I have those times that you just described, what I fall back on is the character of God.
Yeah.
What I don't understand about life, I'm able to comprehend as I comprehend the character of God. I know that he's good. I know that he's gracious. I know that he's kind. And I know that he wants to transform me and conform me into the image of his son. So I cooperate, even though I don't have all of the understanding.
Beautiful.
Well, let's go back to the third and the final portion of today's Grace Hour message, again from Pastor Stevens, entitled Seated Above in the Eternal Is.
Jesus Christ is seated. Remember, when the priest went into the old tabernacle, there was no chair. But the first thing it says about Jesus is he's seated in heavenly places and seated at God's right hand in Hebrews 12:2 and many other times. And we're seated there with him. Now, why should, if mentally and emotionally and experientially God has taken me that far, why should I go back and leave that position and leave that wonderful, wonderful life and come back down here and worry about something and have ulcers? Well, I'm not going to. Isn't it wonderful? Listen, we're seated above, and we have eternal life living inside our body, and Satan doesn't like this kind of message. I think Satan has hated this emphasis more than he hates anything in the world. He doesn't mind when you say, when you just preach normal sermons, because he can sure take Adam and ruin them fast with people. I mean, you can hear a message and weep, and Satan can take you outside, and if you don't understand your position in your life, he can take you outside and take care of that message 10 minutes after you've cried because you liked it. If you don't know how to handle the Word of God, he's got no problem with you. You could hear 1 million messages and be practically not much better for hearing a one. But, brother, he can't touch this kind of message. Because he's defeated, the flesh is done with forever, the world is no problem to us because the cross comes between us and all of these things. And just in case we fail, God doesn't charge it to us. And if something goes wrong, God doesn't see it. The Holy Spirit sees it and we grieve him and he convicts us. But he doesn't condemn us. He convicts us only. He never condemns. He convicts because there's no condemnation, cannot be ever again for a believer. And so Satan's one criterion against is to keep him blind. Secondly, to make him fear. And thirdly, to make him forget what God has done. You know that? And when a few people get a hold of what God has done, refuse to forget it, and know that they don't have to fear because Jesus Christ has cast it out forever at Calvary. And when they understand that, then mankind understands his heavenly position, that he's written, if he's saved, his name forever is written in God's book as the finished product, because God doesn't look at it from time, he only looks at it from eternity. God knew his church before you were born. He called it his eternal church, and he says it didn't have spot or wrinkle. You see, the reason God could say his church didn't have spot or wrinkle is he didn't look at it from the standpoint of its Adam nature. He looked at it from the standpoint of what Jesus Christ did for it and redeemed it, and how Jesus Christ has accepted it, and therefore he sees it without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing, in Ephesians 5:27. Think of it. God looks down upon this corporate body this morning, and corporate bodies across America that are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, and he sees them without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing. You know why? Because they're not a church in time. They're his eternal church. And that's why he could say to the devil, of all that come unto me, Jesus could say, I have lost nothing. John 6:39. He said, I'll never lose any of them because they're eternally mine. And they're part of my flesh, my body, and my bones, Ephesians 5:30. And he said, therefore, they're my eternal church. Now he said that some things going on in their lives that I'm working out, I don't have a credit, I don't have a charge him with it, because I can't. Because Jesus Christ is eternal, redemption is eternal, Hebrews 9:12. The Holy Spirit's eternal in Hebrews 9:14, and their soul is eternal. And he said, so what I did, I let Jesus Christ shed his blood and pay for all of their sins and their sin, and he was crucified and judged in their place for them and as them, and he was buried. Now, then that transformed their eternal souls by eternal redemption into eternity. Now, he said that happened when Jesus died, not when they got better. That happened when they accepted what Jesus did in their behalf. That started to happen in their experience then. But it happened in my mind when I knew that they would accept Christ. And I've always known that. I know who would and I knew who wouldn't. And anybody can, but I also knew who wouldn't. But those that would are part of my eternal church. And so he said, what I've done is that through eternal redemption, by my eternal spirit, I've given them my eternal life. And he said, their religion isn't religion. Their religion is simply Christ living in them, and that's my eternal life living inside of them. Now, that's the only kind of life that I see when I see them now. They do have another kind there, and many times they yield to it. But I refuse to see it. The reason is because their life is hid with Christ in God, and I can't see anything that's hid with Christ because the blood covered it. Now, therefore, they're complete in Colossians 2:10 in Christ, and they're perfect in Christ, Philippians 3:15. On that basis, I cannot impute sin to them, Romans 4:7, nor sins, Romans 4:8. And so I see them as simply Christ, because they've been translated into Christ by my own spirit through his redemption by my grace. So he said, through my eternal grace and through the Son's eternal redemption and by the revelation of the eternal spirit through my eternal word, we've done something for their eternal souls. And it's for eternity. Now he said, when they learn that, they're going to discover that it's very easy, and that the yoke is easy and the burden is very light. Matthew 11:29.
Well, that's the conclusion of today's Grace Hour message, friends, from Pastor Stevens. Again, it's entitled Seated Above and the Eternal Is. And we're going to, well, of course, the phone lines have been open, so if you'd like to join us, now's the time to do it. We still have time to take your calls, and if you want to weigh in, please do so. Hear the numbers, toll-free, 800-338-7060. And the local number for those of you listening in the Baltimore area, we'd love to have you join us by dialing 410-483-3700 as we continue our conversation live in our studio and invite you to participate as well. Great message today. Some great thoughts. Pastor Shell, I want to go back to a verse that Pastor Stevens mentioned, and just to make sure that our listeners understand it, 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. Can you make some comment on that particular verse?
Yeah, the language is clear. As he is, so let's say, understand as he is, where is Christ? Five times it says he's seated at the right hand of the Father. So we have, as he is glorified, he is fully accepted by the Father, he is the Son of God, he is has the knowledge of God, he has a divine purpose, he has the wisdom of God, the mind of God, he has obedience, he is righteous 100%. So how could we define Christ as he is more clearly than to just refer to the Bible, what the Bible says he is? So as he is, so are we in this world. Well, obviously you don't have a glorified body and I don't have one, but are there many similarities to the condition he has, the status he has right now in heaven, that is the same as the status that we have as we are where? In the world. Not in a glorified state like after our resurrection or the rapture, whichever would be coming first, but we are accepted by God the Father. We are made righteous. We're already 100% righteous in the mind of God. We have the name of Christ, Jeremiah 15:16. We're called by his name. We have an eternal purpose. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We are anointed as Christ is the anointed, so we are anointed. Well, when is this happening? Later? No, as we are in this world. So, I mean, that's how I understand that.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, all of those truths that make reference to Christ, the same truths are made in reference to us.
Yeah, because we're his bride. Wouldn't the bridegroom and give the life and the privileges, the legal rights, all the everything he has inherited, is shared with the bride? So in Hebrews 1:2, Christ has inherited all things from the Father, and now we are the bride of Christ, and we are joint heirs. Romans 8. We have inherited with him everything that he has inherited.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. Praise while God. We live in this world.
Incredible.
I mean, does God want us to get beaten down and buried? Does he want us to be discouraged and guilty and ashamed and afraid? No. But what is able to build us up? The Spirit of God and the truth of the Scripture.
Amen. A lot of you have weighed in, shared your comments with us. Christian has written and said, this is such a great message. Love to everyone. Such a simple yet powerful way of explaining how to view life as a Christian. And Lisa Ray says, thanks for your prayers. Last week, friend's daughter Marie went in for urgent C-section, and I was able to accompany her to surgery and assist with the baby's care. Praise God. Mother and baby doing well, discharged home yesterday. And that's an answer to prayer. Patrick says, yes, for you to live is Christ. That word has settled a lot. What a privilege that is. Ganesh writes and says, very encouraging. Marion says, souls, souls, souls. And I think a message like this would stir your heart to reach souls for Christ.
Yes. Two people are working at Johns Hopkins Hospital. There are two lives running parallel. But one is a believer and one is not a believer. Yeah, they both eventually, in the course of a year, they each get its parking ticket. They each have a relative that gets cancer. they each have trouble in their marriages. They each have a, you know, within a 5-year block of time, life happens to all of us, to the Christian and the unbeliever. But what's the difference?
Christ.
Yes.
Christ in the heart of the
one. The believer has a message. The believer has a life. Does he get hurt? Yes. But how does he process that hurt? Does he get a parking ticket? Yes. But how does he handle it? Is his marriage in trouble? Yes. But how does he handle that? Does he go to church? Does he hear a message? Is he living by the word of God? Is he learning how to live in faith? Yes, he has faith. The other one does not. Mm. What's the difference?
Faith in Christ.
Yeah, and the testimony is, the unbeliever may one day in the cafeteria sit with him and say, how do you do it? How do you do it? And that humble Christian will say, listen, I'm the same as you are. I'm the same as you are. However, I've got to tell you that I have somebody helping me. I have somebody forgiving me, somebody who speaks to my heart, somebody that comforts me. I also have, like my brothers and sisters, I have people that are supporting me, that are caring for me, that are loving me, that are praying for me. You know, I can do this thing called life because I have God.
Yeah. I think a word that I heard, you know, in the message last night was the word process. We can process tragedy, heartache, trouble, distress. We know how to process it because of this relationship that we have with Christ and the Spirit indwelling us. A lot of people can't process life. It's too much, and it only brings about frustration, fear, anxiety, worry. But we have a way of processing it, and it's through our relationship with Christ.
Beautiful. Sebastian mentioned to me during the break there, Job 33:13, and maybe Pastor Love, you could comment on this. I'll read it to you. Why do you strive against him? This is Elihu speaking to Job. Why do you strive against him? For he gives not account of any of his matters. He does not give any account of his ways. He does not give an account of his matters. Now, this relates to the shooting in Texas. Does God explain that to us? No, he does not give an account of it. But last night we took a stab at it, and it came out pretty good. It really was helpful, and I got a lot of good feedback on that message last night. You know, even from India, and it was, you know, it was very encouraging. But I love this, that the Lord does not explain to us. And remember, we said when Job went through his trial, at the end of the book of Job, God did not tell Job that Satan did this to you. He did not say that to Job, remember?
Yeah.
He did not say that. He did not explain that to Job. So God may not tell us everything because we don't need to know everything. But there is a love that passes knowledge. And even though God does not give an account of his ways, we have learned to trust him. Like Job said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him.
And you also mentioned in the message last night about Nebuchadnezzar being driven into the wilderness and becoming like a wild beast.
Yes.
Until he acknowledged God. And when he acknowledged God, he said this in Daniel 4:35, all the inhabitants of the earth are as reputed as nothing, and he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what are you doing? Which is essentially the same thing that Job heard.
Yes. What verse? Chapter 4?
Daniel 4:35.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, you know, you can ask that question, but you probably won't get an answer.
Yeah. What are you doing? Silence. Hearing crickets, right?
Yeah.
Like nothing. But he is so good to us to speak to us if we will be humble before him.
Yeah.
You know?
Nebuchadnezzar had to learn that.
You got a lot of angry people. a lot of pride, a lot of angry people today. But keep your eyes open. There are some humble people sitting in the back corners of the room. There are some humble people that are quietly walking along a country road somewhere. They're processing it with humility. And they're saying, God does not give any account of his ways, and he doesn't have to answer me. And it's not my place to judge God. I want to be humble before God.
Mm. Yeah. And, of course, the proud say, no, we want an answer. We demand an answer. We want understanding as to why these things happen. But, again, you'll never get an understanding through pride, but you will have peace if you approach God through humility.
I mean, there's proverbs on that. You know, the humble will hear and be glad. But then there's the mouth of fools, right? The big mouth of the Antichrist is Revelation 13. The big mouth of the Daniel, is it Daniel 7, the Antichrist in the book of Daniel? They have big mouths. Be careful you don't have a big mouth. You know, remember when we were kids? Big mouth, yeah. You know. Big mouth is talking right now, right? And they're big, you know, arrogant, proud, yelling, screaming, big mouths. It's like, it's shameful. Like, be quiet. What do you know? You're a fool, isn't it? There's a, he that utters a slander is a fool. And then, you know, fools are raging. How about this one? Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. So there's a fool yelling and shouting, and don't answer him. Well, you might become like him. Mm. You know, be quiet. That's the end of Ecclesiastes 9. It talks about the quiet counsel of wisdom. Wisdom is heard in quiet. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, we've reached the end of yet another broadcast, friends, and we want to say thank you so much for joining us on this Thursday morning edition of the Grace Hour. And we have one more broadcast coming up on tomorrow's Grace Hour, the Friday edition of our broadcast. And tomorrow's theme will be The Worthy Lamb in All of His Glory from Revelation, the 5th chapter. So we hope that you'll join us a little less than 24 hours from now. We do appreciate you joining us today, and all of you that have weighed in on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and gracehour.org, thanks so much for being with us today. Until tomorrow, may God bless you.